Alright, so this week we are going to finally discuss the question that I've been dangling in front of everyone for a few weeks now, about why the Akedah is the source of the shofars of Matan Torah and of the Geula Hasidah. I had actually thought that there was one more piece that I was going to add on before we did it, but I decided that it's been so many times that I've said that I'm just going to add on one more piece, that it would be too much of a joke if I did it again. So we're going to do the Akedah this week, and then maybe next week we'll add on the one more piece at the beginning of next week before we move on. But so basically, we wanted to discuss that we discussed the idea of the shofar of Matan Torah and of the Akedah. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that the shofar that was blown at Matan Torah was the shofar of the left horn of the Isle, the ram from Akedah Yitzchak, and the shofar of the Geula Ha'asidah, of the final redemption, which the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says is, it's the right horn. That's why it's described as the shofar gadol, because the right is the stronger side, so it's the greater shofar. So that shofar of the Geula Ha'asidah, you talk about shofar gadol, is also the right horn of the Isle of the Akedah. We discussed the idea of these shofaros of bringing everything together, creating harmony under one rubric, under one central unifying focal point of Ratzon Hashem, the entire world being the entire person and the entire world being guided and united under this one idea, that the guiding point, the central controlling point of existence, is Ratzon Hashem, is Hashem's will. So these shofaros both come from the Akedah, as the Pirkei Eliezer says. So try to understand, what does the Akedah symbolize such that it should be that these shofaros find their expression, their manifestation, or their origin, I guess, in the Akedah. So you're trying to understand what the Akedah symbolizes. So we start again last week, but we'll start over. So after the Akedah, Hashem declares, and right after he says that, he tells Avram, Al Tishlach Yalkal Anar, Hashem says, Ata Yadati Ki Yare Elokim Ata. Hashem declares, after the Akedah, after Avram has put Yitzchak up on the altar and he's ready to shecht him, to slaughter him, and Hashem sends a malach to stop him. So after all that, Hashem declares, Ata Yadati Ki Yare Elokim Ata. Now I know that you are a Yare Elokim, that you have fear of Hashem. So the blaring question is, what does it mean that now Hashem knows? And it says, now I know that you are, have Yiras Hashem. Because only now Hashem knows that Abraham, he was in Orkastim, he was thrown into the fire, so he was asked, he was told, you know, either denounce your belief in this one God thing, or else we're going to throw you into the fire. And he was thrown into the fire to stick with his beliefs at a point when God had not even revealed himself to him at that point. At that point, Avraham had came to a realization on his own that there must be a God, but God had not yet come to Avraham at that point. So Avraham, at that point, no, God doesn't yet know that Avraham has Yiras Elokim. Avraham abandoned his birthplace. Lech lecha el haaretz asher araka. Just leave. I'll show you where you're going when you get there. Avraham goes. Avraham gets there, and there's a famine, and he has to leave. Avraham goes through 9 very serious nisyonos, very serious challenges up until this point. And it's only now that Hashem knows that he has Yiras Hashem. So it's a very interesting point. What exactly does it mean? Why is it that only after the Akedah that Hashem declares that Avraham, that he knows that Avraham has Yiras Hashem. So, you know, to try and understand what was unique about this Nisayon, we can try and understand about the Avos in general. The Gemara and Sanhedrin, Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph, seems to say that there's something. Gemara is not very explicit, but the Gemara seems to speak to this idea that there was something very unique about the challenges, the tests that the Avos went through. The Gemara records that David HaMelech asked Hashem that why is it in Shemona Esrei that we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and we don't say Elokei David? Why don't we also add into the beginning of the first Baruch Shemona Esrei that Hashem is the God of David HaMelech? Right? The Mefarshim there discussed that David HaMelech lived before the Anshei Knesset Gedolah formalized the standard text of Tefillah, so it was, you know, this was either a prophecy or it was just symbolic of the idea of what it represented, or he knew it was going to be established that way. But be that as it may, that David HaMelech asked Hashem, why is it that we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and we don't say Elokei David? So Hashem responded that he said that the Avos were nisnasuli ratalo, nisnasuli, that the Avos, they were tested, and you were not tested. And David, you were not tested. So the Gemara goes on, not to our topic, but the Gemara goes on, and David says, okay, so test me, and Hashem says that, okay, I'm going to give you a test, and I'm going to do you a bigger favor than what the Avos had. I'm going to even tell you what your test is going to be, and still you're going to fail. And he told him the test was going to be in the area of Arayos, and the test of Batsheva, which David HaMelech, Gemara implies that David HaMelech failed that test. A lot of discussion exactly what his failure was, but at the end of the day, he failed that test. But just getting back to the first step of the Gemara, so what does the Gemara mean when it says that David wasn't tested? So let's get past the point that everyone goes through tests. It doesn't mean that David wasn't tested. Everybody's living life, there's anything difficult that happens in a person's life, is that people go through challenges. What does it mean to say about anyone in history that they weren't tested? But particularly David HaMelech. David HaMelech lived a life of incredible difficulty and challenge. David HaMelech, that at the beginning of his life, he was when he was young, his family, basically everyone except for his mother, assumed that he was born out of wedlock and he was treated like a mamzer when he was sent out into the fields to be by himself. And then, you know, it was only once Shmuel came to anoint him as king that they realized that, oh, he was actually of the line of Yehuda, and he must really be the son of his father, of Yishai. But he was chased by Shaul HaMelech, trying to kill him, his own son, rebelled again. David HaMelech lived a life of an incredible challenge. And so how are we meant to understand that David HaMelech, that the Avos, what does the Gemara mean? It says the Avos were challenged. They had Nisyonos, and you, David HaMelech, you didn't have Nisyonos. So we'll start with the Torah very uniquely and directly addresses the test of the Akedah. And the Torah introduces it with the words, Achar Dvarim Ha'ila, V'Hashem Nisa Es Avraham. Says that Hashem came to test Avraham. So the Torah here specifically points out that this was a Nisayon, that this was a test. And different discussions in the Mefarshim, the Ramban, about what the idea of a test is. But just one point, the Malbim discusses, in a different place, what the Malbim discusses, that the idea of, he's talking about the difference between a Nes and a Bechina is, or a Nisayon and a Bechina. When you are Menase something, you test it, or you're Bochin something, it says a Bechina when you're bohein something, you're basically testing to see that it is what you think it is. You're basically identifying that it is what it looks like it is. So you run whatever tests you run to make sure the thing fits the properties that you expect it to have, and that's how you're bohein it. Says that Nisayo Nase, says the Malbim, is to test for, or perhaps even to bring out, kochos, different strengths which are beyond the nature of something, different the latent kochos which really surpass the nature of the way something is. They move beyond the natural state, the natural level, or the natural state of existence of that thing, and they bring it up to a higher level. Rashi talks about saw nace, to lift a banner, that the idea is to elevate something, to lift it up. It's something that you raise up, that a nace, something that lifts up. It's a nace, and isayon is a test which elevates something and brings it up to a level higher than it was before. It demonstrates a property of this thing which is unexpected. It's above the expectation of what you, of the properties you would expect this thing to have. So the Avos, starting front and center with Avraham Avinu, went through very unique nisyonos. Their nisyonos were a particular nature of nisayon. Their tests were tests that went directly and diametrically against their nature. So we have a very important central idea. There's a lot to discuss in this, but just to touch on it, that each of the Avos had his midah in which he excelled. And Avraham was the midah of chesed, Yitzchak was the midah of gvura or din, and Yaakov was the midah of emes or tiferes. And different where we see each thing that the pasuk says titan chesed Avraham, titan emes Yaakov, chesed Avraham, and we see different themes and motifs throughout the lives of each of the avos where you see these constant manifestation of these themes, but that each of the avos had one midah which was a central pillar of avodas Hashem and really of the nature of existence, which they represented and which they really brought into the world and into Klal Yisrael. That's why the avos are also called avos olam, the fathers of the world, and they're also the Chazal say that the avos hein merkava l'shchina, that the avos form the chariot for the Shechina because they form the pillars on which the God, so to speak, manifests himself in the world. But each of the avos had their own midah, had their aspect in which they excelled, which was their car. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Al shlosh dvarim olam omer al Torah v'al avodah v'al gemilus chasadim." So those shlosh dvarim that the world stands on, those are the three midos of the Avos. Torah is the midah of Yaakov. Torah is emes, and the avodah is the mitzvah of gvura of din of self sacrifice, and gemilus chasadim, midah of chesed. So the Avos represented, they had these three central midos which were the basic foundational elements of existence and of the Jewish people, and they each had their own midah in which they excelled, which they represented. The midah of chesed, so the idea of chesed means, we say an act of kindness is a chesed, but the root of what chesed is, the Gemara in Sukkah on Mem Tesam at Beis, the Pasuk says in Asia Skyle, Pasuk says, V'toras chesed al lishona. So the Gemara says, V'chi yesh Torah shel chesed, Torah she'ina shel chesed. Are there two types of Torah? There's a Torah of chesed and a Torah which is not of chesed. So the Gemara says, so two answers, but one of the answers the Gemara says, that Torah lilamda, that Torah, learning Torah in order to teach it, to give that Torah over to others, that's the Torah's chesed is. The Maharal in Nesiva Torah in Parag Zayin explains what's the idea, why is Torah's chesed is Torah lalamda. He says, Lefisha chesed mispashit hatov la'acher, Shazahu inyan chesed. The idea of chesed is to bequeath good onto others, to bestow, spread out and divest chesed onto others, to expand beyond yourself. That's the idea of what chesed is. The idea of chesed means to expand beyond yourself and to invest in something else, to, so to speak, to be a source that provides for something else, to bring something to someone else, to uplift something else. And that's why an act of kindness is an act of you investing, giving from yourself, spreading into someone else, investing in someone else. That's an act of chesed. An act of kindness is a fundamental idea of chesed. Is this idea of mispashet, of exuding the tov hatava to others. So the idea of chesed, the root central concept of what chesed is the idea of emanating to others. Avram, we see, represented this idea in many ways. Avram had a tent which was open on four sides, a very simple level. It was to see travelers from all directions. It was in order to maximize his chesed, the degree to which he would be able to give to others was, you know, he would see them whichever the direction they're coming from. But on a deeper level, it represented that he was open in all directions. That he was the ultimate mashbia. He had open channels in all directions. He was completely in every way, in every direction, every method of being mashbia, of channeling to others, that Avram had the doors open. So he was the ultimate having the access ways in order to allow a flow out to others, that Avram was the ultimate in that. The mentioned before, the Avos Hein Merkav L'Shechina, that the Avos, that they're the forefather, they represent the chariot of the Shechina. So the Avos represent the conceptual structure of creation, in which Avram represents in that structure the root concept of Chesed, where it fits in to the structure of existence, of creation. Avram represents the, so to speak, the raw energy, the source, so to speak, of from which everything Avram represents a point of origin that everything else is built from. That existence, as it comes into being, into a world, is represented by Avraham. Avraham was the Av of, it says the name Avram and the name of Avraham both represented the Avram status of being an Av. He was the Av of Aram Naharayim, and he was the Av of Hamon Goyim. The Av is the father. The father is the point of origin. The son comes to his source in the father. He extends himself, outgrows, and emanates into the son. That's the creation that he brings. He's the source. The idea of being an Av, we discussed this long time ago, and we discussed in the second bracha, the addition that you make for the Yamim Noraim. We say that Av Harach. Is Ava, slipping my mind. Michamocha Av Harachamim, Zocher Yitzur of Chaim Rachamim, that Michamocha Av Harachamim, that the Av Harachamim, that Hashem is the father of Rachamim, because Hashem is the source of Rachamim. He's the ultimate point of origin of Rachamim. It's the idea of what an Av is, we discussed then, the idea of an Av versus a Ben, but the idea of an Av is to be a source for something. And Avraham represents the ultimate, the conceptual source of existence, the point of origin from which everything else, that point of energy from which everything else is drawn and everything else is formed from that. But the point of origin, the point of being a source to others, of providing existence, that's the idea of chesed, and that's the idea that Avram represented in creation. The opposite of this is misa, is death. The Maharal in Nesiva Avoda in Paraktes, and the Ramchal in Das Vuros discuss this idea at length, but that the idea of Misa, the idea of death, is a consequence of Heder, is a consequence of withholding existence, of preventing, of holding something back, An eder is a flock. It's fenced in, something which is being bound, which is being limited and held back. That's the misa comes from heder, comes from withholding, from preventing existence. The ultimate result of holding back and preventing and cutting off that energy is the eventual, the ultimate consequence of that is misa, is death. And the Maharal discusses that Gehenim is called Tzia, which means desolate, because Gehenim is a lack of existence. And Gehenim is also called Tzal Mavas, because Gehenim is the ultimate expression of Mavis, is the ultimate heather, the ultimate place of lack of existence, right? Real life, person who, the real schar is to experience real existence of being connected to Hashem, and the real onesh of Gehenim is to be sent into non-existence, and non-existence that the person is intimately aware of their own non-existence. They're aware of not having become what they could have become, but that the ultimate manifestation of Gehenim is non-existence, and that's why Gehenim is called Tzal Mavis, because it's the ultimate expression of Mavis. It's the ultimate expression of non-existence. So we have the idea of Chesed, the idea of being a source of life, a source of existence, and the idea of Misa is the opposite of that, is the complete heder, the complete withholding of that hashpa, of that flow of energy is death. So Avram represents this idea of Chesed, this idea of ultimate being a giver, being a source for something else, being the raw energy which provides for something else to exist. And death represents the opposite of that. And Avraham Avinu was asked to kill. Avraham Avinu was asked to bring heder, to bring this withholding of existence, this end, this squelching of existence, which is the opposite of his midah of chesed. But not only that, but Avraham was instructed to kill his own son, even someone who is not naturally a giving person, but the nature of a person, derech ha'av l'rachim al ben, it's natural for a father to have compassion on his own son, and how much more so Avraham Avinu, that he's a person of compassion, a person of chesed, a person of giving, that the sense, the innate sense, desire, and instinct to give to his own son must have been that much greater for Avraham Avinu. We could really take it a step further, that Avraham was really, yes, he was Av Hamon Goyim, he was the leader, he was the bringer of knowledge of God to the rest of the world, that the Midrashim talk about Avraham assembled, you know, tens of thousands of Talmidim who came to him to learn. He was the provider of knowledge of Hashem to the rest of the world, and he was representing telling everyone of a God of Chesed. And Avraham Avinu now is asked to kill his own son. People are going to say, so Avraham, how's your son Yitzhak doing? Oh, I killed him. Like, what's going to everything he's building, which is more than just the fact that it's his personal empire and his life achievement, but that's his, he is being a source, in that way he's being the ultimate source of meaning to all of existence. He is the source, the conduit, the point of access for the rest of existence to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's bringing that into the world, and he's going to cut that off. That's going to come to an end through what he's going to do. He's destroying everything that he's built. He's destroying, that which he is, the source of an incredible relationship with Hashem for the rest of the world. And Avraham is told to go and bring his son as an Ola, and Avraham goes without question. And with this, Avraham is showing something very fundamental, which is instructive or indicative of the entirety of everything that Avraham has done, which is that Avraham is showing that all of the chesed that he has done, and all of the kindness, and all of the investment that he has done, everything that he's done, was not because he has an affinity towards chesed. some people, they're just naturally nice, and they, you know, they get their kicks, they get a certain energy, they get a certain, they find meaning in being kind to others. You find people who have absolutely no connection to religion or spirituality, but they're just, they find meaning in giving. That's, you know, they're, people are tremendously self-sacrificing in that way. That there are some people that they are Baalei Chesed, because Chesed is what makes them tick. And one may have thought that Avraham was also that way. One may have said that some people are just naturally nice, and they enjoy it, and they get their energy from that. And Avraham Avinu was the ultimate example of that. Avraham Avinu, he represented the Midah of Chesed. He was the fundamental conduit of the Midah of Chesed into the world. And one may have said that Avraham Avinu, he's a Baal Chesed because that's the way he is. That's the kind of person he is. Some people are more strict people. Some people are more kind people. Avraham, he's a kind person because that's his midah, that's his nature. Avraham showed that he is a Baal Chesed. Avraham showed that he is a Baal Chesed because it is Ratzon Hashem that he is a Baal Chesed. Now we're ready to come back to our original Shiloh. Ata yadati, ki now I know that you are a Yare Elokim. Now I know that you have Yiras Hashem. That Avram is now showing that it's that the reason that I'm a Baal Chesed is not because Chesed is just my thing. It's I'm a Baal Chesed because Hashem wants me to Baal Chesed. And when Hashem tells me not to be a Baal Chesed, then I'm not a Baal Chesed. The whole reason why I am a Baal Chesed is only because that is Ratzon Hashem. The Akedah was the ultimate display of having one central Nekuda of existence, of having one central point which defines your existence, which is Ratzon Hashem. Even positive elements, such as the Midas of Chesed, the Chesed of Avraham, the Gvura of Yitzchak, are only a function of this one central point of Ratzon Hashem. And yet the Nisyonos that the Avos went through, Yitzchak also, we discussed at one point what the Nisayon of Yitzchak was, and we discussed at one point what the Nisayon of Yaakov was, but they each went through a Nisayon which demonstrated that their nature of being, the me that they were, they would nullify it, they would go against it, they would contradict their nature when that was what Hashem wanted, when Hashem said it was time to not be that way. So now they would not be that way. They showed that their midah was not just because that's the way they are, but it's because that's who Hashem wants them to be. And through that they showed that each of these midos are not justified in and of themselves. Chesed is not good because it's chesed. Chesed is good because it's Ratzon Hashem. And when Hashem doesn't want chesed, then he doesn't do chesed. And gvura is not good because it's self-discipline. Gvura is good because it's Ratzon Hashem. And when Hashem doesn't want gvura, so then he's not a Baal gvura. And through that they showed that each of these fundamental midos of existence are really underneath, they're really under the rubric of this one central point of Ratzon Hashem. They only have their justification because they are part of the structure of this is what Ratzon Hashem is. So the shofaros of Chayrus, the shofaros which bring Chayrus into existence, the uniting of the Bria, as we've been discussing the past weeks, of bringing everything, roping everything together under the rubric of Ratzon Hashem, they originate from the Isle of the Akedah, because the Akedah is the point at which it shows, that sacrifice is what shows that everything is that all of Avodas Hashem, all of existence is meant to be subsumed and subjected to one central point, which is this Ratzon Hashem. And Chesed is defined as being Chesed because it's Ratzon Hashem. Chesed is not the source of existence, is not the midah of Avraham Avinu because Chesed is a good thing. It's that it was that midah that Avraham had the ability to bring in the world because Hashem wanted it in the world. And it's only to the extent that Hashem is Ratzah b'Chesed, only to the extent that Hashem desires that he should be this man of kindness, that Avraham is that way. But at the end of the day, that midah is subject to the ultimate determination of, is this Ratzon Hashem? And then, so the Akedah is the ultimate expression of this point, of this idea, that everything in the world, the structure of existence, the fundamental conceptual pillars of existence, are also held under this one central, this one unifying idea of Ratzon Hashem, of this is defined by Ratzon Hashem, and therefore the Akedah is the point of origin where we find these shofaros, which represent the bringing in, the roping in of all of existence under this rubric of Ratzon Hashem. We find that in the Akedah.